Thank you. We enjoy that good singing, good song leading. Joy to be here again tonight. Turn to the Gospel of John tonight again, please. John chapter 14. We're bringing a series on the Holy Spirit. This morning we spoke on the new birth, being born of the Spirit. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you're not a believer, you're not a Christian. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Word of God says, examine yourselves as whether you be in the faith. It's very, very important that you know, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and that you are born of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel we saw this morning and the working of the blessed Spirit of God. We're born again. Except the man be born of water, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, he cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. Now we want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, as way of introduction, what we want to say tonight, particularly about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we want to give some background. Who is the Holy Spirit? Many think he's some type of an influence. But we want to just check it out from the Word of God and a few scriptures that we'll appreciate better when we come to the truth of the indwelling Spirit. The Holy Spirit, is he equal with the Father and with the Son? We believe the Word of God teaches that he is. He's lying, he linked up together with them. You remember in Matthew chapter 28 and the Great Commission, where they were to baptize the believers in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He was together with the Father and the Son in the great benediction in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, where we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the comfort of the Holy Ghost, as they are mentioned, linked up to with the Father. The Trinity is together in the commendation. The verse we read this morning in 1 Peter 1, 2, we have that we were set apart by the Holy Spirit and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus. We were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. You have the Trinity there in that verse. So you see them many times associated together. Then also we know from the names that are given to him. I just want to list some of the names that are given to him. Could only be given to one who's God and who's a person. You notice in that verse we read too, that he may abide with you forever. We're not speaking so much tonight about the personality of the Holy Spirit as his deity. He's called in the Word of God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus called him that in Luke 11, verse 13. He's called the Spirit of Holiness in Romans 1 and 4. And these names are very, very suggestive. When God the Holy Spirit indwells us, of course, he should make us a holy people because he's holy. He enables us to be holy. And apart from him, we couldn't be holy. He's called the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, he's called the Spirit of Jehovah. Isaiah 61:4. He's called the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8:9. He's called the eternal spirit in Hebrews 9:14. He's called the spirit of light that has made us free from the law of sin and death in Romans 8:2. He's called the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians 1:13. He's called the Spirit of glory in 1 Peter 4:14. There it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And then he's called another comforter we have here in this verse we read. And I'll pray that the Father will give you another comforter, one that's equal to the one that was with us before, the Lord Jesus. Does he possess the attributes of deity? In Hebrews 9:14, we read that Christ offered himself through the eternal Spirit. He's eternal. In Romans 15:19, he's spoken about there that, but God hath revealed them, through the mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. He is omnipotent. And you only have to read the book of Acts to see something of the majestic power of the Spirit of God. We'll deal more with that at a later date. Then he's also omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, the God had revealed them unto us, these wonderful hidden things, by the Spirit, for the Spirit, he searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And he's also omnipresent, as we read in Psalm 139, where the psalmist said, whither shall I flee from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So we say he is omnipresent. Now, does he do the work of deity? Well, we mentioned this morning he moved in creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the deep. He was very active in creation. In fact, the whole Trinity. You read the same in the book of Job, how his Spirit was active in creation. Job 26:13, also 33:4. Very active in creation. We want to bring home to us who he really is. He's the creator too. And then he, of course, is very active in the inspiration of the Word of God. Holy men of God, they wrote as they were moved a cale along by the Spirit of God. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. And this is a wonderful thing. Remember in John 16, we'll take up some later, how he would glorify the Lord Jesus. How he'd bring things to remembrance concerning him. And as I was thinking about that, I just want you to just turn for a moment what the Spirit delights to do to the Song of Solomon chapter 5. One of my favorite portions in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 5, the Spirit of God in inspiration brings before us the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. He wants to make Christ more precious to us. The question is asked of the bride, what is thy beloved more than another? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou hast so charged? And she goes on to say, my beloved. This is the Lord Jesus in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. He's white and ruddy, absolutely pure. He's the chiefest among 10,000. And let's get on to you that believe he's precious. Who makes him precious to us? The Spirit of God. He wasn't precious before we were born again. I could take the Lord's name in vain and didn't bother one little bit. But after I was saved, it's a different thing. Never once have I ever taken the Lord's name in vain since. Why? He's precious to me now. His name is as ointment poured forth, and you can't use a name like that in vain or in cussing. His head is of the most fine gold, the glorious deity of the Lord Jesus. His locks are bushing black as raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves. Remember, he looked in the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. His cheeks are bed of spices, the sweet flowers. Oh, to marvel at the gracious words that proceeded out of his lips, out of his mouth. His lips like sweet flowers, and his cheeks, upon me, are bed of spices, the cheeks that were plucked. But then his lips, like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. You remember the Lord Jesus said that Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like the lilies. The Lord's words were like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Never man speak like this. Now, the Holy Spirit gave inspiration. He draws us to the Lord Jesus in all his loveliness. And then it speaks about his legs as pillar marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is Lebanon, excellent as cedar. We could go on and on, but I just want to read this. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Spirit of God. Seeing that he does the work of deity in the inspiration of the scriptures. And then he was very active too in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I might say in the death too. According to the verse in Hebrews, he too, the eternal spirit, speaks about Christ there dying for, shedding his blood. The Spirit of God was very active in the death of Christ and in the resurrection. If you turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, speaks about the resurrection there and the Spirit of God. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from out among the dead. You have the Spirit of God active too, as we said this morning, in regeneration. And I should have also mentioned he was active in incarnation. Remember, he told Mary that holy thing that would be born of her was because the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power from on high shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God, the Spirit. Spirit of God. Is he ever called God? Yes, in Acts chapter 5. Remember when Satan came in and the first sin that was directed by God himself. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira, of lying, professing to do something they didn't. And you remember Peter said in verse 3 of Acts chapter 5, Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And then down in verse 4 he says, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He is God. I want to just establish that before we go into, so we see more the beauty and the wonder of what we're trying to bring before you tonight. The wonderful thing about the Lord, all down through the Old Testament, all the way through, he always wanted to fellowship with men and dwell with men. Remember right in the beginning in the garden when he came there, the cool of the day was to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And you remember Satan had been there and deceived the woman, and Adam had taken the fruit and sin had come in. But there was God's desire. God walked, Enoch walked with God, you remember. He was converted when he became a senior citizen at 65. And he walked with God for 300 years. Well, by 300 years' time, we'll all be walking the streets of gold. But he was walking with the Lord down here. God wants the fellowship of his people. In the ark, he said, come down thy house into the ark. He was already in there. Back in the days of Moses, if you turn to Exodus chapter 25, and verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That was God's great desire. In 1 Kings chapter 6 And verse 13 to David. Then what, beginning in the middle of verse 12, then I'll perform my word with thee, which I speak unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel. Now turn, please, to 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. You remember God's great desire. Now comes the temple, Solomon's temple. And Solomon is offering that beautiful prayer dedication. He says in verse 18, and will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Solomon, with that magnificent temple, as opposed to the most elaborate building that was ever built, he says, can God indeed dwell with men upon earth? Now, you know the history of Israel, that the glory cloud that filled the house, they eventually departed. Then, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and he tabernacled among us. God came to earth in the person of his Son. He had been coming and wanting to dwell the Father in the Old Testament. Now for a period of some 3.5 years, he that has seen me has seen the Father, said the Lord Jesus. He came to unfold and reveal the Father. But because of his physical, bodily presence, he was limited to be with people that he was with. But he says, I'm going to go back to heaven. That's what we read in John chapter 14. And when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter, he's going to come. And you're going to, and he's going to dwell with you. And he also says he's going to be with you forever. And he's going to be in you. And that's the glorious truth of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God, the Spirit, now this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, one of these first night I want to speak on the baptism of the Spirit, but tonight it'll take us all the time we have to deal with this subject. But the Holy Spirit came, as you know, in Pentecost, and he came to dwell here and to stay here, and he came that time, and all the believers that were filled with the Holy Spirit, will God indeed dwell with men upon earth? We thank God we can answer in the affirmative. He has come. And he says to the collective carnal Corinthian Christians, know ye not that ye are the temple or the body of Christ. And then he says to us as individuals, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that marvelous? God living in us. This is a tremendous, great truth. And I hope we can appreciate it and grasp it, that God, who filleth the heavens, whose glory is so great, who's so holy that he has to even look to humble himself, and he's so great and so high to behold the things that are in heaven. And now God, in the person of the Spirit, has come to dwell in us. And I believe that's one of the great truths that we have in the New Testament. That's the dispensation today of the Holy Spirit. He has come. The Comforter has come. And he's come to take up his abode and he'll dwell with you forever. You know, in the Old Testament, he came upon men. It says of Bezalel that the Spirit of God came upon him, prepared him for the work he should do in connection with the tabernacle. The Spirit of God that ever came upon Gideon. The Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he moved him. The Spirit of God came upon David. The Spirit of God came even upon evil men, Saul, and Balaam, tells us the Spirit of God came upon Balaam. When he had certain things to accomplish, he came upon men. But in the New Testament sense, he never came to indwell them. And that's what happens when we are born again. The Spirit of God takes up his residence in our hearts and our lives. And that's such a tremendous thing. It's hard for us to take in. He, God the Spirit, dwells in our hearts. And I want to give you some scriptures for that. Now, connection with the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, let me first bring before you some other scriptures. First, the promise. To turn back to Ezekiel chapter 11. The Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And I'll give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. This is most important. Sometimes people come and ask, have you received the Holy Spirit? He promises, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit within you. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. Maybe we'll start at verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I'll cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. And I happen to have a New Bay Bible, and he puts that in capital letters. A new spirit will I put within you. That was promised back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, 26 and 27. Then the Gospel of John, just turn to chapter 4. When the Lord was dealing with the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. And friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can go in for everything this world has to offer, and you'll thirst for more. It's never truly satisfied. There's nothing satisfying down here. People with all their riches and all their things of amusement and entertainment and everything else. What's happening? They're committing suicide, they're divorcing one another and everything else. Nothing down here is lasting or satisfying. But the Lord Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, for the water that I shall give him shall be in him. I like that. Be in him. A well of water. Peter refers to joy unspeakable and full of glory coming from within. The joy of the Lord. You'll find out as you read the book of Acts when the Spirit of God really had his sway, there was much joy. You read that over and over again. You see a Christian that's long faced and sad all the time. He doesn't know the presence and the power of the Spirit of God in his life like he should. John chapter 7. These are the promises. I don't think I'll finish this message tonight, but we'll continue it again probably on Tuesday morning. And John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that a tremendous promise? That's the Spirit of God in the believer. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. You can't have a body on earth till you have a head in heaven. And it was dependent on the Lord going back to glory. Except I go away, he said in John 16:7, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him. And he did. On the day of Pentecost, he came, and he came for the express purpose of baptizing all believers into one body, and every believer becoming a member of the same body, and everyone and being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're living in a great day. I thank the Lord that I'm living in the day of grace. We need to praise the Lord for that. Rivers of living water. And then we read that promise in John chapter 16. That's a great, and we'll pick up more about that. Now, when the Lord Jesus was here in John, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he said this, but ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This, I keep, ask you to remember, this was before Pentecost. This was before the Spirit was given. And on the day of Pentecost, I'll be speaking more about that. That's probably one aspect of their praying, but he still hadn't come. But once the Spirit has come, there's no need to ask for him anymore, because if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. What he needs is he needs to have more of you and more of me. He has come. You don't have to ask God for something that's already here. I remember reading the late H.P. Barker illustrating this. He said there was a friend of his one time invited him to take his tent to his town to hold tent meetings. So Mr. Barker said, well, the best way to bring it about is you pray for it. So he kept on praying the Lord would allow Brother Barker to come there with his tent and pitch his tent of his own on this man's land. Well, the day came when the Lord opened the way and Mr. Barker pitched the tent. Now then, they went in, after the tent was set up, they went in the tent, and that man that owned the land, he says, now, brother, let's just ask the blessing now on the tent meeting we're going to have. Before it came, he prayed for the tent. Now that the tent had come, he didn't have to pray anymore for the tent, but he prayed that God would bless the ministry, the word given forth within that tent. And that way the Holy Spirit has come. It's certainly all right for us to pray that we might be strengthened by the Spirit, and that we might not quench Him, we might not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can pray like that, but you don't have to pray for His coming. He has come. Sometimes we hear people praying in prophecy, Lord, and forgive us all our sins. You don't have to pray that anymore. But they use the little word have. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Given you all your sins, past, present, future. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake, says 1 John 2:12. They're all forgiven. Now, a believer doesn't have to say, Lord, give me eternal life. God says you have eternal life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life right now. You don't have to pray and ask the Lord to make you fit for heaven. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us meet for the inheritance of saints in the light. That's something we possess. And that's the same thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he came just like the Lord Jesus came. The Lord Jesus died once, and that's all sufficient to put away every sin in this world. The Holy Spirit has come once, and when he gets saved, he's come to indwell you and take over his reign and take control of your life. We want to speak on that on a future night, too, in the filling or the fullness of the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, notice some of these scriptures from the Word of God. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. He hath given him. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He has sealed us. Something that's accomplished. You have the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he has wrought us for the same thing is God who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Galatians 4:6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, crying in your heart, Abba, Father. He hath given the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit. I say, praise the Lord. Marvelous to have God dwelling in us. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby know we that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. He hath given us the Holy Spirit. The true of every believer. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Remember when Peter preached to the house of Cornelius, Peter said after these people had received the Spirit of God, he said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? They received the Spirit of God upon believing. So that anyone ever lead you astray about that, trying to seek something that you already have. God has given us the blessed Spirit of God. Peter says when he accounts that in Acts 11, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, at the beginning. He gave us the very same gift, the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we are void of love. Doesn't it say something? We are lacking the Spirit of God to control our lives, because he brings out that love. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. There's a carnal Corinthian. Chapter 2:12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We have received it. They were sanctified positionally by the Spirit into the body of Christ. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which dwelleth, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. Let me bring a few practical remarks in the end. This is a wonderful truth, but with great privilege comes great responsibility. Oh, how we need to guard against that. We'll probably deal more with that about grieving the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve him? Well, you know what he thinks of Lord Jesus. And we bring great delight and pleasure to him when we occupy with Christ and we talk about him and his loveliness and his beauty. He's the Holy Spirit, and we allow sin in our lives, unclean thoughts. The Word of God speaks about every thought going into captivity to the and obedience to Christ. God's Word says you're to be holy even as I am holy. And I think my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How we need to realize this is God's dwelling place. And you know, we're really filled with the Spirit, been told with the Spirit. Don't you think it's going to manifest Christ in our lives? And you look at the fruits of the Spirit, we'll look a little more at, and you'll see in them the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that fully brought out all the fruits of the Spirit in their fullness. And as we abide in Him, and His Word abides in us, and the Spirit of God has control of every activity, and we are saturated in the Word, then we're going to become more and more like Him. Like the hymn says, oh, to be like Him. That's to be our great desire. Like our blessed Lord. Oh, what a lovely person. What a wonderful person. We sang that about what a wonderful salvation. Tonight, may we indeed, who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, give Him much thanks. And may we not be afraid. He's God. He'll never lead you contrary to His Word. Give ourselves to Him completely, and that way we'll be more occupied with the Lord Jesus. Remember Stephen? Man full of Holy Spirit. He desired to be Jesus. What did they say about Stephen? His face shone like the face of an angel. The reflection of Christ coming out of that holy man's face. Oh, to be more like Him. May God help us to be yielded to the Lordship of Christ and the control of the blessed Spirit of God that dwells in each believer. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you're none of His. Of Romans, that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful dispensation we're living in. Remember in the Old Testament, Thou hast only come and dwell among men and come upon them. Even in the days of the Lord Jesus, He came here bodily. But oh, we thank that He said, where I go away, I'll send the Comforter. And He shall not only be with you like the Lord Jesus was, but He should be in you. And we thank Thee for this great mystery that Paul speaks about in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We thank Thee for this great privilege to live in this dispensation of grace. Give us thankful hearts and appreciative hearts. We might truly appreciate Thy love and Thy grace and Thy presence. We commend ourselves to Thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.